Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Speakers are asked to refrain from abusive or profane remarks, disruptive outbursts.
See, that's the problem. Your forked tongue gets you in trouble. Just like,
no, it does not.
If you don't know who I am, close your mouth. Something's going to fly in your mouth.
You're going to have to be quiet when I'm talking. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do the insubordination.
This is not transparent, open government.
I have never said you were psychotic, though you may be.
I don't know that I care for the narrative.
Well, Stephen, I certainly didn't mean to hurt your feelings or anybody else's, or to imply that any one of us is not doing what...
I'm not a maiden who needs to be saved from my feelings.
Wonderful, thank you.
Cornell University published a study titled The Data Heat Island Effect, Quantifying the Impact of AI Data Centers in a Warming World, which measured land surface temperatures before, during, and after the addition of an operating AI data center in over 1,100 locations around the world. They found that AI data centers raise the temperature around them in a 6-mile radius and up to over 16 degrees Fahrenheit. Think about what that would do to the pollinators, wildlife, pets, and people nearby, especially whoever's working there. The average heat increase was over 3 degrees Fahrenheit, which is also the difference between a normal body temperature and a concerning fever. For more frame of reference, think about what you regularly set your home thermostat to, and imagine having to turn that up 3 to 4 degrees all the time.
Yeah, okay, so I want to give credit where it is due. I think that the people who showed up to pitch a fit over the data centers last Wednesday at the Escambia County Commission meeting were largely not very credible, said things that didn't make sense, didn't answer obvious objections, very one-sided, mob mentality kind of stuff. Alienated me as a neutral listener who didn't really have an investment in this topic one way or another. In fact, if anything, if you had to guess, you'd probably guess Andrew McKay is against data centers because I hate AI so much. I've used it. Okay, occasionally. I count on probably two hands the number of times. But, I think it's basically terrible and bad for humans and bad for the economy. But it's here and it's growing and we're using it more. And I'm losing this argument. And, you know, okay, fine. You know, we'll all serve the digital overlords together when it, you know, reaches self-awareness. Fine. I've seen the movies. I know how this turns out. I bought my plasma rifle. So anyway, you'd think I'd be against, but I was kind of neutral on this. But, you know, when people... Again, affiliated, not all necessarily, but, you know, when the socialists show up, I'm like, well, I'll probably be on the other side of this. but when people show up and say ridiculous things, it pushes me to the other side, especially when they don't answer obvious objections. Then they did not. In the long 2 hours worth of public forum, this particular woman, she was correct. It's a pre peer review. It's not, you know, a published in a journal study, but she's right. Crystal Partridge. She did, I think, a little bit exaggerate the significance of the study. What it said was that somewhere between half a degree and 16 degrees for up to as much as several miles, 4 miles really was the primary effects, below 30% beyond that. You know, if the temperature outside varies by 3 degrees, do you really care? No. She's making it sound like your body temperature and the outside temperature are the same level of concern, and it's not. Do we want a region of our county that's 2 to 3 degrees higher on average? I mean, honestly, I don't think it matters that much. But, you know, I went and read the study. You know, the facts she said are not false. I just think a little bit more context. Craig McDonald.
Warrington, Virginia, residents vehemently opposed the center, but the council... ignored them. Every single person was voted out in the next election. Every single one. And I don't believe you're going to go against the people. I really have faith in you that you will listen to the people.
Yes, please threaten us with political consequences and we will certainly do what you want. Okay, so there's, you know, thousands of these things all over the country, about 4,000 of them. Has everywhere protested? Has everyone been voted out? Or was this just one place where they got a little bit too full of the misinformation? And this is going to be a theme, by the way, but Larry Downs Jr.
I think y'all have heard enough on the data centers. I mean, I think y'all get the gist of it. And I don't think really anybody in this country, I can't believe that percentage is 71% opposed. I mean, I get that, but I can't believe there's 29% who are like, yeah, bring it on. That's crazy.
This is a great admission of something that was a theme of the night. they do not know what the other side's arguments are. And this is, by the way, why you have public notice and why people come and debate on both sides, because, you know, even if the other side is in the minority, you want to hear their objections or their ideas. You know, what's useful about a data center? Nothing. They're terrible and evil, and they make people have cancer and make their animals infertile, and they make noise. It gives people headaches, and they raise the temperature, and they destroy the water. Oh, so people are stupid and evil. Yeah, terrible. Where'd you learn that? On the internet. Where do you think the internet houses that information? Data center. You know, okay. It's all the fat cat billionaires that are forcing this on us. You mean the fat cat billionaires that got wealthy by selling people products that they want to have, like advertising over a platform like Google or social media or YouTube? Or, I mean, it's like when you acknowledge that you don't understand why anybody would be on the other side, oh, caution. You know, that's where you should say, I should probably learn more. And I'll tell you, you know, I did a very simple Google search. I just said, you know, arguments for, and several very interesting arguments, articles came up talking about economic development, talking about what's the future, talking about low latency applications. That means you've got to be physically close to the thing for them to really work the best. Talking about how, in, you know, investment in infrastructure and competition against global markets, where clearly we are in the lead by a lot right now. I mean, we have the largest slice of data centers in the world. We have about 40% of them. We have about 4,000. The next best is the UK at 500, and then Germany at 500, and then China at 370, which is weird to me. I would have thought China would be way ahead, but they're not. It's one of the few things we're actually ahead of them on, if you think of it as a good thing. So anyway, you know, they're building ships better than we are, and they're doing a lot of things better than we are. But, you know, we're doing this one thing better than they are. Okay, well, so are all these people who are building data centers stupid and losing money? Or are they paying attention to what is actually coming in the future, and are they investing in things that they believe will generate revenue? Remember, revenue is generated because people want a thing. You use a thing. You use the YouTube. You use the social media. You use the internet for research. You use Wikipedia. You know, whatever the case may be, you use it. You use it for health services. You use it for schoolwork. You know, if you use the internet, and we use it a lot, you use the data center. You know, you're the data center. So where should they go? Well, not next to my house. Well, okay. I mean, I guess I understand that. I wouldn't want a low-level hum next to me either. But if you put up trees and a berm and it's contained in a closed system that doesn't actually evaporate the water, because that's how the modern ones actually work. They don't evaporate the water like the original, the early versions do. And, you know, you put it in the wilderness, you know, like we have a wastewater treatment plant kind of up north. Who is it harming? The bees! Okay, I mean, I care about the bees, but you all seem to disagree with me about AI, so you're using it to write your public comment, and then you're complaining about the AI that wrote your public comment. I mean, pick a side. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John, am I going too fast?
No, not at all. Brought to you by Florida West. Did you know the Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to create high wage jobs and private capital investment that grow Escambia County's tax base? No accidents or delays right now to let you know about I-10, I-110, 90-98. All look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives. The history of the Blues is presented by Prim and Proper.
Although the Blue Angels are the oldest continuously organized flight demonstration team in the world, they were not the first. Before we explore the history of the Blue Angels, let's take a look at those who preceded them. Flight began with the Wright brothers' first flight in 1903. The birth of naval aviation was 8 years later in 1911. Recognized as the grandfathers of precision aerobatic flight, the Three Hawks were the Navy's first exhibition team. The Three Hawks were a three-plane team formed within VB-2B Squadron in 1928 at NAS North Island in San Diego, California. They were the original Felix the Cat Squadron, which served aboard the aircraft carrier USS Langley. Flying Boeing F-2B-2s, the Three Hawks' first public exhibition was at Mines Field, what is now Los Angeles International Airport, during the National Air Races September 8th through 16th, 1928. They flew formations which were, for the time, considered exceptional. Some maneuvers even involved flying while tied together with ropes. The Three Hawks represented the Navy at air shows until late 1929, when all three pilots received orders to new assignments and the team disbanded. Another team from Squadron VF-1B aboard the USS Saratoga, called the Hi-Hatters, flew during the late 20s and early 30s. The team consisted of 9 aircraft and pilots that were rotated among different sections within the squadron. Even Charles A. Lindbergh flew with the Hi-Hatters during the Cleveland Air Races in 1929, 2 years after his solo flight across the Atlantic. The Three Flying Fish was an exhibition team formed at NAS Anacostia in Washington, D.C. in the spring of 1930. 1 year later, the men were transferred and the planes returned to use in the regular fleet. Meanwhile, on board NAS Pensacola, a group of instructor pilots within Training Squadron 5 formed a team called Three Galantzels, a name taken from the high sails on square-rigged ships. The group flew together from 1930 through 1932. No other naval flight demonstration team would fly until the end of World War II, and that team was the Blue Angels. I'll be back with more after this.
Summer is here, and Prim and Popper is ready. From officially licensed Blue Angels and U.S. Navy merchandise to custom engraving and branded promotional products, they do it all right here in Gulf Breeze. Shopping for yourself, buying a gift, or putting your logo on something your customers will actually keep? Go see them. Visit primandproper.com or stop by their shop in Gulf Breeze, located in the heart of Proper on the way to Pensacola Beach. Prim and Proper, officially licensed, locally loved.
How and why the Blue Angels were formed will be covered next time on News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft.
Oh no.
That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Get the alerts that can make all the difference. Save up to 30% with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Summer season is here, and Florida's summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Blue Sky Landscaping and Pensacola Hardware.
Getting you up to date as you head to work. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Oops. Oops. What does that mean? What do you mean?
No, I got it. I'm putting, some jerk didn't put...
I know what I got it, though. When I say oops, what do you mean saying oops there?
Well, you say we try that one again, huh?
Yes, yes. Yes, without the oops.
This goes out to all the women in the world.
Yes, yes. Without the oops. So, continuing the conversation about data centers, which, again, I went into this thing pretty neutral on them. And, if anything, probably against, mostly because I hate the AI so much, so opposed to it. But I'll tell you, listening to these 50 or 60 people who spoke and, you know, cutting my 50 clips out of this presentation at the Escambia County Commission meeting, y'all pushed me the other way because I recognize you weren't answering key questions. You were representing a hypocritical viewpoint. You weren't making good arguments. You were engaging in hyperbole and personal attack and threats of political nature and mob behavior and shouting down the opponents when they talked. And I did a little research and I'm like, well, you didn't address any of the obvious stuff. Like, again, how many of you were using your phones that day? How many of you used your phones to generate arguments? to do research, to read the paper that was put out by, you know, Harvard or Cornell. How many of you watched videos, shared videos, promoted on social media? How many of you streamed your TV and movies on Netflix or any other service, and on and on and on, all the things that happen in data centers? Like, you use them. Unless you're all like the modern Luddites who don't use any of this stuff, which at least I respect you for consistency, but did you use GPS to get to the commission meeting? Because if you did, then the question is not whether you're against data centers, because if you are, you're just being dumb. The question is where to put them. And that's a fair question. And, you know, probably not at 9th and Bayou. But could we find a relatively remote location? I don't know, somewhere up in the north where we've already got a bunch of infrastructure for technological and industrial activity, where maybe they have reuse water close by that you could use if you even needed to supply extra water, where they have a power plant already. I don't know. And by the way, Chris Plotay was real clear. He's the executive director at Florida West, or the CEO, I forget. It doesn't really matter. He's the main guy. And he said, they're not coming. Nobody's asking. Hyperscale data centers, and that's really what we're talking about, is the millions and millions of square feet ones primarily. But we're not building that here. There's none coming here. There's no active negotiations. Everything you've read is false. I know Chris. He's reliable. Judging by these people, I'm not sure who is reliable in their group or not. But there's nothing coming here. This is all not a joke, but it's all a fake story. But my question is, even if it were coming here, would I object? And I'm thinking, well, I mean, I see advantages. I see jobs, I see revenue, I see property taxes being offset. I see we might lose a whole chunk of property taxes if the referendum passes. Even if this were coming here, that could be an offset. We've seen that happen elsewhere. Places that have let their property taxes get cut because there's a data center locally. And proximity to technology, which is good for a thousand different things. I don't know. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Let's see here. No accidents to report to you or delays. Looks like everything is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And the idea of comparing these things to, you know, dumps and landfills and toxic Superfund sites and, put up trees, build a berm, don't have it right next to houses. I don't want it in my neighborhood either, but it doesn't mean I don't want it somewhere. Well, that's not fair. Why? We have dumps somewhere. We have, you know, wastewater treatment plants somewhere, but not next to your house. I don't know. What's the issue? Anyway, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. Feel free to text me, 437-1620, disagree or agree. I'm just kind of curious. And again, frustrated by the fact that these clearly passionate advocates did such a terrible job debating and presenting the other side. And then what you do is you respond to what the other side would say. The best way to build credibility in a discussion space that hasn't happened yet is you say what you want to say. Then you say, and here's how the other side will respond, and then you respond to their responses in advance. They just didn't do that. Terrible debating. David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. The U.S. and Iran, along with mediators Qatar and Pakistan, say they have agreed to a 60-day roadmap aimed at reaching a final agreement following talks in Switzerland. Officials say technical negotiations now begin on Iran's nuclear program, sanctions, and enforcement issues. UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer is resigning after winning the landslide election back in 2024. President Trump predicted the moment in a Truth Social post on Sunday, saying Starmer was, quote, feeling badly on immigration and energy. His resignation marks the seventh different prime minister over the past decade. And
you want to hear from him? I got it. Ready?
Absolutely.
The question my party is asking now is whether I am best placed to lead us into the next general election. I have heard the answer of my parliamentary party to that question. And I accept that answer with good grace. Every decision I've taken has been about putting the country I love first. That is why I will resign as leader of the Labour Party.
The very epitome of the stiff upper lip British resignation. I was told I'm not wanted. I shall leave, sir.
And Andrew, he's learned his lesson. After staying neutral during the NBA Finals, taking heat from New York fans, Elmo has decided to take a side as far as the World Cup goes. Elmo posted a video on social media. He says he is officially backing the U.S. men's soccer team, but says he still loves everybody that is playing.
What a homer. What a homer. In the host country, I don't think you should be picking sides. Plus, convenient after they've already won two games.
I just can't make you happy.
Not me. I just know what the internet's going to say. Too little, too late, not a New Yorker. I saw that yesterday, too, and that made me laugh. Elmo trying to refurbish his image after being seen as too neutral and bland about the New York Knicks. Oh, man, that made me laugh. So, anyway, we'll talk more about this, because I just think there's a lot to be said, and only one side of it was said at this meeting, and I think only one side of it's largely been covered, and I'm trying to give you the other side, because we ought to be having a debate, a real discussion.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Progress is reported at the U.S.-Iran peace talks in Lucerne, Switzerland. Vice President J.D. Vance.
The Iranians have agreed to invite IAEA inspectors back into their country.
But it wasn't all smooth sailing.
It was not all smooth sailing. Iranian state media said negotiations were paused after what it called an insulting message from President Trump. The president spoke to Fox News over the weekend and threatened to take over Iran. He posted on social media, "We'll hit Iran very hard if the Iranians don't stop proxies causing trouble in Lebanon." Technical level talks will continue through the week.
Fox's Jonathan Savage reporting. Keir Starmer says he'll resign as British Prime Minister.
I have heard the answer, and I accept that answer with good grace.
Members of his Labour Party questioning whether he's the best person to lead going into the next elections. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio 92.3 right now. 81 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies. And, of course, we will get a look at our forecast with Channel 3 and Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. Well, flooding from the remnants of Tropical Storm Arthur causing all sorts of flooding issues over the weekend. A lot of them in Santa Rosa County. The Blackwater River rising 3 feet. From the week's storms and the city of Milton over the weekend, closing down the downtown Riverwalk, Russell Harbor Landing, Carpenter's Park, and all boat ramps through, they said, at least Monday. And several roads do remain closed in North Santa Rosa County, including Spring Hill Road at Wagner Bridge, Red Rock Road, Deaton Bridge Road, Amos Cabanas Road, Bryant Bridge Road, and Riverwood Road. Emergency officials warn that some drivers have been going around barricades and getting stuck in standing water, so they're saying make sure you do not go around any barricaded roads. And in northern Escambia County, recent flooding set back a big bridge replacement project, a temporary asphalt road providing access to a construction bypass bridge on O.C. Phillips Road, southwest of Walnut Hill, washed away. Construction on that $5 million permanent bridge replacement began back in February. It's expected to wrap up summer 2027, or was expected to. No word yet on if the when the temporary bridge could reopen or how this washout will affect that project timeline. Florida Power and Light and the Council on Aging of West Florida teaming up today to distribute hurricane preparedness meal kits to hundreds of Pensacola area seniors. The kits include 3 days of shelf-stable food, water, snacks, and a hurricane preparedness guide. The distribution runs from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Council on Aging on Royce Street. It's part of a statewide initiative that FPL has run since 2016 to help vulnerable seniors prepare before storms hit. New law championed by Escambia County giving local authorities a path to removing derelict vessels from area waterways. Governor DeSantis signed the Derelict Vessel Bill, which kicks in July 1st. Escambia County had pushed for that reform in response to persistent boat dumping problems at Bayo Chico. Under the new law, county code enforcement can handle abandoned boat violations directly and don't have to wait on FWC officers who are frequently stretched thin. Officials say that change should make a big difference in cleaning up Bayo Chico and other local waterways. There's an investigation going on in Okaloosa County after human remains were discovered in Crestview on Friday. The remains were found near Stillwell Boulevard by individuals who then called authorities. No details have been released on that as of yet, but an investigation is ongoing. Now, the intersection of Massachusetts and W in Pensacola will be closed today and most of tomorrow for additional roadway repairs. This is after that big water main break that happened last week. No through traffic will be allowed at the intersection while that work is going on. Detours will be in place. Those repairs are expected to wrap up by late tomorrow afternoon. Again, that is weather permitting. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and John's got our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. Still rolling accident-free, not even seeing any delays to slow you down on 90, 98, Highway 29. Even 9 Mile looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. 81, partly cloudy. Let's get a look at our forecast from Brooke Richardson and Channel 3.
We are going to be looking at a nice warm day today. Temperatures around 90 degrees for your high. 10% chance of a stray shower. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Going into Tuesday, 30% chance of a stray shower. High near 88 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Going into Wednesday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high near 88 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And again, right now, 81, we've got partly cloudy skies. Your next news at 7 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields are higher this morning as investors look ahead to key inflation data released later this week. The yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury note, which is the key benchmark for U.S. government borrowing, rose over 3 basis points to 4.483%. Oil prices are mixed this morning after President Trump threatened renewed military action against Iran, but then dropped those threats after talks between the U.S. and Iran in Switzerland. West Texas Intermediate at roughly $77 per barrel. Brent, which is down by more than 1%, is at $79 per barrel. SpaceX shares dropped by more than 4% this morning, continuing a sell-off that has seen the stock fall in the past two full days of trading after a rally after its record-breaking IPO. Elon Musk's space and artificial intelligence firm became one of the world's most valuable companies after a blockbuster listing on June 12. Futures are mixed as investors watch for developments with an Iran peace deal. On Friday, the Nasdaq gained 496. That's Your Money Now.
From the FIFA World Cup to competitive business environments, grand ambitions lead to game-changing achievements. At Bank of America, we're there to support businesses at every step, providing insights and expertise to help you gain an edge.
He shoots! He scores!
What would you like the power to do? Explore winning business solutions at bofa.com/gamechangers. Bank of America, official bank of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Bands on the Beach is back. So bring a lawn chair or a towel and get ready to enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music each and every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. This week, the Disco Kiss will be taking the stage, playing the best songs from the biggest bands of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair, but don't bring any pens or glass. Stop by the Cat Country Tent. It's Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The board recommends approving.
Regarding that seat on the committee, we're promoting.
To boost quarterly earnings.
Every day, shareholders meet to discuss important matters about the companies you invest in. Now you can easily make your voice heard. Vanguard Investor Choice gives you a say in the companies you invest in. With just a few taps, you can set your proxy voting preference for your index funds. Visit vanguard.com/investor choice to learn more. Vanguard investors own shares of our index funds, which own shares of the companies they invest in. Available for Vanguard index funds that participate in Investor Choice. Vanguard Marketing Corporation distributor.
You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you.
On your phone,
on your computer, wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter, even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Tonight it's very clear as we're both lying here. There's so many things I want to say.
Speakers are asked to refrain from abusive or profane remarks, disruptive outbursts.
See, come that's on. The problem. Your forked tongue gets you in trouble. Just like,
no,
you
it does not.
If you don't know who I am, close your mouth. Something's going to fly in your mouth.
You're going to have to be quiet when I'm talking. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do the insubordination.
This is not transparent, open government.
I have never said you were psychotic, though you may be.
I don't know that I care for the narrative.
Well, Stephen, I certainly didn't mean to hurt your feelings or anybody else's, or to imply that any one of us is not doing what...
I'm not a maiden who needs to be saved from my feelings.
Wonderful, thank you.
Love can touch us one time.
But people across the whole spectrum oppose this. I think it's pretty common. And even the people that don't directly oppose it, maybe they're neutral on it. I don't know anybody that vehemently wants this. You know what I mean? Except maybe the few people that would profit off it.
Well, okay, so I know it's a lot, but this was such a topic of conversation for 2 hours, the Scambia County Commission meeting, that I thought we need to talk about this a bunch. And in radio, people come and they go. And Cameron White there talking at the Scambia County Commission meeting about how evil data centers are and how saying... Everybody across the whole spectrum vehemently opposes, except for maybe a few who aren't super pro. Okay, well, then why do they come? Why are they being built? They're being built because people use them, because somebody wants them. You want them. You, no, I don't. Are you using it? Yes, I am. Then you want it. You know, you're the traffic, so to speak. Joanna Rogers, who she says works in AI herself.
Commissioners, I want to ask you a simple question. Would you accept these impacts, all the negative impacts that everyone has stated here today, if this project were being built near your own home? If the answer is no, then you should not ask the people of Escambia County to accept them either.
Why not? Why not? Can you not build a thing that's away from even all residential? That's why we have industrial separate zoning from residential. Or, you know, let's say they're near a place that people do live, because that makes it so that those areas are cheap to live in. You know, you don't think about it a whole lot, but depressed areas or low income or, you know, low housing cost areas exist in less desirable places because you can have cheap housing there. And that is an advantage to people who don't have a lot of money, who cannot afford to live in the nice place. You know, I don't know why you're so opposed to affordable housing. Yeah, I don't want to live there, but that doesn't mean that nobody would be willing to make that trade-off. You also have, let's see, Joanna Rogers continued.
Finally, many residents are paying close attention to this decision. Public office is up, and the people who elected you expect their voices to matter.
By the way, expecting your voice to matter and getting your way are not the same thing.
If our voices are ignored and this project is given green light, we will not forget it come election season, respectfully. Thank you for your time. Have a good night.
Thank you so much, Joanna.
Nothing like threats to persuade people, which, by the way, there is no project. It's all been fabricated. There's no project. OK, just to be clear, if I get a chance to get to those clips, I will. One of the few people who showed up and had anything kind of favorable or at least explanatory about data centers was David Skeens. And by the way, I give him credit for, in a room full of very hostile other siders who did not want to listen to him, he at least had the guts to stand up and say, well, did you know this?
If you're fortunate enough to come to a negotiation with a data center provider who's serious about coming to our area, I want you to consider that the headwinds are in your favor, right? I don't think tax abatements are necessary anymore. Certainly, you can encourage, maybe even require closed-loop watering systems. You can require bring your own power. You can require that any infrastructure improvements that are that needed are borne by the data center provider. And you can also get community benefit agreements, which are happening all over the country now, as you probably know. Things like fire stations can be built, gymnasiums, training centers, technical training centers.
Yeah, and in fact, the law that was passed by the state requires some of that, or at least guides towards some of that anyway. Bring your own power, bring your own water, or use reuse water. You don't have to evaporate the water. So the closed cooling systems that he was talking about, paying for the fire station, paying for any grid improvements that need to be done. By the way, we have plenty of water, and we're not destroying it. The modern ones don't destroy it, but reuse water? We have so much we are in Milton in the middle of going through a massive political upheaval and controversy over how to get rid of the reuse water. I mean, you could just build a data center in Milton. Did I say it out loud? Anyway, so David Skeens continues.
Keep in mind the benefits.
East Milton, by the way, not the city. You know, East Milton.
Keep in mind the benefits, the future benefits that may come from low latency, which is the distance that you are physically from a data center. There are low latency applications coming that will benefit our community that we will want to enjoy, and we won't be able to do it if the data centers are too far away from where we live.
You
want to
build aviation tech? You want to build future industry? Have data centers. Guess where they're going? They're going near those things. And again, just to be clear, I'm not super pro because I have a lot of concerns, not the ones they're raising primarily, but I'm open to the conversation. Let's have an honest adult conversation about this. Feel free to disagree with me or agree with me, whatever, 437-1620. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now and still delay-free. Not seeing anything on Highway 90, Avalon 90-98. To slow you down, I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Back to the conversation about data centers at the Escambia County Commission. Paul didn't catch his last name. I don't think it got said.
Do you have the courage to push back these rich companies? Again, they work at such a shady way, like third company names that we don't know. All right? So honor, courage. Are you committed to us and our vote? Or are you committed to the rich folks that are taking over from the north? That's it.
Nothing like a solid carpetbagger argument to persuade me. Again, if it's rich folks who are so-called taking over, why? Do they feel like there's money to be made in this because there's a product or service involved that people are willing to consume voluntarily and pay money for it, or at least pay eyeballs for advertising? And the answers are yes. To all of you in the audience who are protesting, again, do you use the internet? Do you use social media? Do you use streaming video? Okay. Arnetha, welcome. I like Arnetha a lot. She's a good local citizen. She's always got a positive spirit, which I love that.
But I do have a question. Earlier, Commissioner May stated that he suggested to ban the data center. And Allison made a statement. She used her terminology, I guess, being as a lawyer, moratorium. And I just need to know, what's the difference? What's the level between banning and moratorium? Thank you.
It's a fair question.
Okay.
I always like questions where people don't understand a thing. I always like questions where people don't understand a thing and are willing to ask.
Okay. Allison, could you address that or... Because I don't understand.
So actually,
I know banned is banned. That's it.
Yeah. If we get to that point, what I'm going to be recommending is a ban, actually, because in playing around. Yeah. One heck of a year for your last year, huh?
Hey, I don't ever get that kind of reaction.
Has anybody ever cheered for you like
never.
That before?
Yes. Never.
I love it.
The only reason I won't vote to ban it if we put it on Pensacola Beach.
Okay, we have...
That's Lumen making a joke. Allison Rogers getting applause is indeed a fairly rare thing. Nicole Frank, an opponent?
If a data center gets built in Escambia County, that is what you're going to be allowing to happen to all of our children.
Oh, she had given a long explanation of how you at 50 and 55, the people on the podium, although not all of them are quite that old, but, you know, 40s anyway, you are having aches and pains and energy issues. And, you know, how would you like your kids at the age of 25 to feel like that? Well, that's what's going to happen if you build data centers. in addition to, you know, what, the cancer and the infertile animals and all the other devastating, horrible, terrible things that are going to happen if you build these things.
I want you to imagine looking at your child and telling them that they're not going to be able to have the career or the sports or the love life that they had wanted and imagined because they're sick now and they're going to be sick forever because we opted to get on a never-ending treadmill of big tech wanting more and more processing power without improving anybody's quality of life. That's it, really. Thank you.
Oh, gosh, when you put it that way, if we're going to make everybody's life miserable and make them sick and infertile and have terrible love lives, I mean, just the level of hyperbole was so amazing. So thank goodness, toward the end, finally, Chris Plate, either executive director or CEO for Florida West, I forget which, I don't know why we didn't do this earlier in the event, but, you know, later on in the event, he basically came in and was like, this isn't happening. I don't know what y'all are upset about.
Before I get to the main point, I do want to correct one thing for the record, and I do appreciate this opportunity to clarify some things. Is Florida West has never been in active negotiations to build a data center. That phrase was not mine. It was the media. There is no proposal, no incentive commitment, and no pending public action before this board, PEDC, or Florida West.
Thank you. This is Chris's time. Yep. We're going to be respectful of everyone. I feel like everyone deserves time to speak, and this is his opportunity to provide additional information. Okay, you can leave if you can't be respectful. That is your first warning. Thank you.
And, I mean, Ashley did a great job on managing all of this chaos, but you won't let somebody speak when you've been given endless minutes. I mean, so many minutes of speaking, and you won't just listen to what Chris is trying to say. What about the NDAs? Well, do you know why NDAs exist in economic development? Do you know that they're extraordinarily common? And it's because these businesses have competitors, and because not only they, but also the people who might have a ability to capitalize on knowledge that would come out in the public require them before you, you know, make a plan to come to town. But once you make the plan to come to town, it actually has to get voted on in the public by the county commissioners with public disclosure. NDAs are for a time, not for forever. So do you understand that? Or are you just like, oh, the fat cats and their secret meetings? Good Lord, folks, learn a thing or two.
So like every economic development organization across the country, or specifically in this state, Florida West receives inquiries from a wide range of businesses and industries. So responding to any inquiry or doing the due diligence that we need to do that is our responsibility is not recruiting a company. It is not endorsing, and it is not approving a project. So the overwhelming majority of inquiries that we have, including those that have the handful that have come through our office as data centers, do not result in a project.
Right. Right. We haven't endorsed. We haven't approved. We've just given information, and we've had more than just this one that you've heard about. And none of them have, you know, worked out. By the way, somebody texts in, what is a data center? Good question. It's a building, typically, it's a building that has a bunch of computers in it. Like, you know, you see these movies where somebody's going to go in and steal some file or infiltrate like Mission Impossible and go, that's a data center. Just big buildings with lots of computers. And therefore, they need lots of cooling. And some of that cooling is, it's a very common thing for it to be done. An open system is not so common. That's where you take water in, you put it outside and evaporate in these big towers. More common these days is a glycol water mix and a closed system where it doesn't evaporate the water. The water is recycled and reused within the system. It's a dry evaporation system, like what you use at your house with an air conditioning unit. Okay, it's not that much different than that. Anyway, they do require a lot of power because obviously the computers, they require a stable grid. They require a lot of things, but that's all it is. By the way, you can have small ones. There's all different sizes. Hyperscale is the big, big, big ones. NVIDIA, somebody just sent me an article I read about how NVIDIA is offering to pay people to house servers in their houses, and they'll pay your power bill increase, and you just put it in your house. I mean, you know, co-located is what that's called, on-site. You know, that's a dispersed network of servers. That's also the kind of thing that would be a data center. It just wouldn't be all in one place. Anyway, Chris Plate, again, talking about this, the CEO for Florida West. I probably given him three different titles today. Sorry, Chris.
So two other facts that I think do matter in this conversation, because there's some things that here are automatically self-limiting for Escambia County. So Florida West, one, does not pursue any standalone or hyperscale data centers. This is what everyone is kind of talking about. They're not on our target list, and a regional power capacity cannot support one to begin with. So this basically it's self-eliminating. The large-scale box that some people are trying to or they're picturing in their mind is not coming here.
The worst version of the worst exaggerations of the worst-case scenario has been taken as a given. And none of that is true. As he said, it just doesn't really fit us here, and even what we do have available.
The state of Florida also enacted on this issue with worries for people that had about utility bills. Senate Bill 484, signed this year, and along with Florida Power and Light's new rate structure as a result of their rate case, now has designated large utility users over 50 megawatts must pay for their own utility infrastructure. So again, the companies pay for that infrastructure, not the residents.
Yes.
So that is very clear. Those are safeguards that are put in place already for us.
That the state has already put in. That's exactly right.
So given the fact that our county infrastructure does not support large-scale data centers, and the fact that there's also other safeguards that the state has put in,
everyone, I'm going to ask that you please give Chris the time to talk. I know as a board, we want to understand how we got here. Mm-hmm. We want as much information as we can.
Right.
Just like all of you brought information, we want everyone's information to be heard, and we want to respect everyone. We are a board that respects people.
Yeah.
Okay, that is your last warning. Thank you.
Just be civil, which they were a lot, and they were also not, at least some. 655 on News Radio 92.3. Again, feel free to text me questions, objections, claims, arguments, whatever you want. You know, I'm here for you. I was so frustrated at hearing such a one-sided presentation, which is what happens when you don't have an agenda item that gives both sides the opportunity to. I wanted to know what would it sound like if an AI or a data center, tech company, whatever, came to pitch one to us. How would they pitch it? So I went out and looked for some of those articles. I'm like, oh, well, that's an interesting point. That's an interesting point. That's an interesting point. And that's all I want, is I want us to be informed and not have these kind of one-sided, everybody agrees with us, you're stupid and evil if you don't, mob kinds of decision-making, which is absolutely what I think is happening. And honestly, I feel like it's my civic duty to at least raise some of the other sides so that we have a meaningful conversation about it. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives.
I wholeheartedly agree. That's right. No accidents to report to you or delays right now. Looks like everything is flowing smoothly on Highway 90, 29, 9 Mile. 98 all look good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Party down with a big bang as Shelton Fireworks celebrates being in business for 50 years. They're located on I-10 and Exit 53. That's the first Alabama exit in Robertsdale, Alabama. Shelton's has the world's largest selection with over 35,000 square feet of fireworks. They have the largest finale cakes and the largest mortars legal in the USA. If it goes boom, Shelton's got it. Located on I-10 and Exit 53. That's the first Alabama exit in Robertsdale, Alabama. For more info, go to sheltonsfireworks.com. Shelton's Fireworks, home of the big ones.
Hi, this is David Williams. I'm seeking re-election to the Escambia County School Board in District 3. I worked for 35 years in the school system, where I've made a difference in students' lives, where I help increase the graduation rate, making sure our schools are safe, and ensuring our students are college and career ready. Please visit my webpage at davidwilliams3.com and view my platform for District 3. Re-elect David Williams, Escambia School Board.
Paid political ad by David Williams for Escambia County School Board, District 3.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
What's interesting, I just realized we've got, I don't know, about 20, 25 texts in so far today.
Right.
Not any of them that I see is really opposed to data centers. You give the impression like everybody's against it, Well, you know, at least the listeners of my audience, at least after we've had a conversation about it, those people are not yelling at me. They're not screaming at me. I mean, maybe they will because, you know, that guy's defending AI centers. You know, well, I'm not really AI, just data centers anyway. Somebody says, if I have a data center in my house, can I use it to heat my pool? Yeah, the heat can be useful. It's not useful enough to drive a turbine, by the way. It's not high enough temperature because I asked that question. Could you use the heat to make an energy, you know, self-fulfilling kind of thing? If they're going to pay for my property taxes, which is happening in some places, you know, low latency would mean that we can do better virtual reality. Oh, yeah. Do you play virtual reality? Do you play video games online? Another application I wasn't thinking about. So, yeah, there's just I want to have a real conversation.